Welcome to The Milking Parlor, a podcast for dairy industry professionals.
A new month, but the same subject as the Farm Bill and its dairy provisions move on to the House. Last month, we talked about how the full U.S. Senate had passed the Agriculture Reform, Food, and Jobs Act of 2012. The bill got a new name over in the House, dubbed the Federal Agriculture Reform and Risk Management, or Farm Act. It has cleared the House Agriculture Committee, but it's run into a snag on the full House floor. I'll have more on that in a minute. While there are provisions in the bill for dairy, what didn't get in might have been the biggest news. Virginia Republican Representative Bob Goodlatte proposed an amendment that would have provided a safety net for dairy producers without requiring them to participate in a supply management program, such as the Dairy Security Act that's already in the Senate's version of the bill.
This amendment is consistent with 80% of the underlying legislation, but does not include the controversial supply management piece. Our amendment offers a compromise that incorporates the two-tier premium structure that is in both the underlying bill and the Senate-passed bill, while eliminating the stabilization program, which is a complex government intervention. Consistent with the direction of the rest of the farm support reforms in this bill, our amendment gives farmers the tools to manage their risk without requiring them to participate in yet another government program. The new Title I programs and our existing insurance programs do not require producers to participate in government supply management. Why should dairy be different? A supply control program that will directly intervene in markets and increase milk prices will ultimately hurt producers as well as dairy food manufacturers by stifling industry growth. I want to take a minute to explain how the ranking member's supply management program works. It requires government intervention in commercial transactions, pulling private sector funds out of the economy and away from farmers into the United States Treasury. Even those producers who signed up for the free, catastrophic coverage would be required to reduce their supply on all milk produced when prices fall below $6, regardless of whether those farmers bought premiums to the $6 level and up.
Goodlatte was joined by Georgia Democratic Congressman David Scott in proposing the amendment.
The amendment that I offer today with my colleague from across the aisle, Bob Goodlatte, will keep milk and dairy products affordable for consumers, and that is the main point. This amendment moves dairy policy in the right direction. It keeps most of what is in the ranking member's bill. It only gets rid of three existing dairy programs that are not performing and offers our farmers a new risk management program that will give them the stability and support that they need without the controversial and flawed supply management element that penalizes not just consumers, but the rest of the entire dairy industry as well. Speaking for my farmers, this amendment is actually more affordable to them than the underlying bill. The premiums are less, and there are no hidden annual fees. This amendment provides important farm support, but it doesn't penalize the dairy food manufacturers, and it doesn't sting our consumers. Our amendment is a solid consumer protection amendment. All of the national consumer organizations have written to us opposing this stabilization program and supporting our amendment. As we know, milk, cheese, ice cream, and yogurt are in the top 10 most purchased items in supermarkets. The stabilization program is specifically designed to reduce supplies and raise milk prices. When that happens, we know that the consumption of healthy dairy products goes down because price increases are passed on to consumers. As milk prices increase, our lower income consumers are hit especially hard. These are tough economic times.
But ranking member of the House Ag Committee, Minnesota Democratic Representative Colin Peterson, called the amendment a recipe for disaster and pointed to the dairy collapse in 2009 as a prime example of why the current safety net in the bill is needed.
We went through, as the chairman said, the worst situation in 2009 that we've ever gone through in dairy. We lost a huge amount of equity. We cannot afford another year like that. The folks that are pushing this amendment will have a problem because there won't be enough milk to fill their plants. That's what will happen. That's the reality, whatever your ideology is. So when we went through the 09 situation, it was bad. But it would have been a heck of a lot worse if we wouldn't have had the CWT program, where the industry went in and paid to move this milk. We had all this excess milk, and they took the CWT, they assessed their members, and they moved the milk into the marketplace or into the export market to get rid of it, and it shortened and dampened the downturn. The problem is that 70% of the producers paid for it. The other 30% got a free ride. But they went ahead and did it, and they did what had to be done. This proposal that's in here now does not require anybody to buy this insurance. You don't have to participate. You don't have to be involved in this stabilization fund. But you can't buy margin insurance unless you are, and the reason for that is that if we get in an oversupply situation like we did in 09, we think everybody should participate. Anybody that's getting government help should be part of the solution. And that's what this does. And that's why the industry came around this. Now, you go back to 09, you talk about the consumers. What a bunch of nonsense. We had the lowest milk prices in history, and did anybody cut their prices at the retail level? No, they raised them. I mean, give me a break. You're going to hear the same thing on sugar. This is all a bunch of nonsense. These people cannot get stuff cheap enough, and they are never going to cut their prices. So if you want to protect consumers, you would not be for this amendment. You would be against it, because this is the worst anti-consumer amendment that we're going to probably consider today.
The amendment was defeated, a move welcomed by the National Farmers Union, whose president, Roger Johnson, issued a statement saying that the one thing that would have made the dairy market stabilization program wholly ineffective would have been allowing dairies to increase production unchecked. Meanwhile, officials at the USDA are concerned about some of the proposed cuts to reports vital to dairy producers. During a recent Farm Foundation webinar, Jim Robb, the senior agricultural economist and director at the Livestock Marketing Information Center, said the real problem is that livestock reports, in particular, are not sexy and hard to explain to the average person, including lawmakers who will be voting on funding these programs.
I think compared to something like the Census of Agriculture, Census of Agriculture tends not to be targeted. It tends to be something that you can explain to a bureaucrat or to a politician and put it in a rather concise package. This is a whole array of market reports, market information that really is much harder to explain in a very simplistic context, and I think that certainly contributes to why these are being targeted. Quality data do not magically appear. I think this is a classical public good.
And remember that snag in the farm bill I mentioned earlier? Despite the overall bill passing the Ag Committee, as of press time, House leadership has called for a vote on a one-year extension of the 2008 Farm Bill, which was promptly opposed by the National Milk Producers Federation. And that group reiterated its support to include the Dairy Security Act in any final Farm Bill package, saying that if we are going to be serious about providing better protection for the nation's dairy farmers, while at the same time providing taxpayer savings from current programs, then we should pass a new farm bill, which includes the DSA, already included in both the Senate-passed and House Ag Committee-passed versions. The group urged both the House and Senate to reject the extension. As I said last time, we'll keep watching the process and keep you up to date on what happens next. I'm John Davis reporting.
Thanks for joining us today in the Milking Parlor, a Zimcom podcast.